that we can have it for future use. The last time I did try to record it, it did not record. It recorded to the cloud, but then it wasn't accessible. So I apologize for that. I just hope that everyone had a wonderful day. We, like I said earlier, if you were just joining the room, I'm up at Ute Pass in a beautiful elementary school here in this wonderful little valley and canyon. Looking out the window, I'm in Jacob's classroom. It's a second grade class. And I'm going to just turn the camera for a second so that you can see the way his classroom is set up. He and several teachers and staff here have been running Jumpstart for, this is in the second week. So I'm just going to turn my camera so you can kind of see what the classroom looks like. You can see that the desks are spread out. You can also see that they have tape on the floor to sort of show where the 6 feet of distancing is for each student. Each student has their own individual container so that they can keep their materials separate. And then what you're also going to see, and I'll hold that up for you, is each student has one of their own carpet squares. And this allows the students, when they are then going outside for any type of learning out the door, then they can sit on something that's nice and comfy. So I just share this as an example of some of the creative ways our staff are really considering how to create social distancing and physical distancing in the classroom, spaces and places that are unique to each child, and then integrating outdoor learning as we go. So this is just one of the models. I would say I'm very certain that Mr. Briggs Hale, principal and staff, would be happy for anyone to come here and see how this classroom is set up. So that's with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I also want to I know that our numbers are low tonight, and I think that's a good thing because we have a lot of our parent universities going on right now, and the enrollment or participation in those have been good. Last night I was able to participate in Manitou Springs Middle School, Elementary School, Middle School, and High Schools, and we were able to answer some questions, introduce the principals, and then also get some feedback from our nurses, and then also our buildings and grounds, just in terms of what does a day in the life for kindergarten look like? What does a day in the life for a high school student look like? And we still have one more evening of those. So if you haven't been able to participate, we hope that you'll join us. Actually, the secondary are finished tonight. I'm confident, though, if you have specific questions, you can reach out to our building leaders. Know that registration for high school starts tomorrow. So we're looking forward to seeing everyone there. With that, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And Colleen Johnson is going to be the wing person tonight because Chris Briggs Hale is right now hosting his parent universities right now. So thanks everybody for joining us. I hope you had a great Wednesday, and looking forward to spending the next hour with you. So let me share my screen with you. And for everyone who is joining us maybe for the first time, now the way this really works is I try to go back and forth between the presentation that I have for you, and then also answering any questions that might come up. And Colleen Johnson will be helping me to she's the moderator there. And then if there's questions that come up that she can answer or somebody else can answer, then they just type those in. So I see a question right now, for example, registration for high school starts tomorrow. Thought it was the 18th. If I misspeak or I say something wrong, then if please somebody can correct that, that would be great. But I'm fairly certain that it's tomorrow. Any high school folks, can you respond to that question just to make sure I don't miss it before we move on? Middle school's tomorrow. I'll just pause for a second. Alice or Ben or anyone? We'll pause. We'll get back to you, okay, Tamara? And then we'll get back to the question. So let me go ahead and share my screen now. I'm working from my laptop, so just bear with me for a second. All right, so does everyone see my PowerPoint that I have there? Okay.
All right. So tonight, what I wanted to take some time to do before we, I'll go through the agenda and then we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. And wanted to start by just welcoming everyone tonight to this. This is probably our 7th or 8th version of this weekly update. And then also wanted to just kind of go through the agenda. I want to also give a shout out to Jesse Hull. He's our new principal for Manitou Springs High School. And as many of you know, he's been the assistant principal for many years. And so congratulations to Jesse. We have already posted the AP role for this particular position for the AP role. So that position is going to be posted on our district website, on CASE, and also through Chalkbeat. So please share with your networks that our AP role has been posted. I would say the same thing, our AP role for Manitou Springs Elementary School, since Ms. Maria Masson has accepted that position and leading the school now. I just want to let you know again, so Parent University, we do have one more session at Ute Pass tomorrow night and then another session tomorrow night at Manitou Springs Elementary School. We're going to spend a little bit of time going over the recap of the weekly update that I sent out yesterday and why I sent it out yesterday versus today. And then I have some updates around El Paso County Public Health Department. So with that, the one thing I really want us to focus on for a moment is we're leaning into the 3 W's to reduce risk of COVID-19. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and watch your distance. This has been really consistent messaging from the start. And so we just want to make sure that we are following this all the time. And, you know, it's really going to be something that we all have to have due diligence with in being a part of. And also I would say that the main aspect too, that we need folks to, if you're not feeling well, to not come to school. And that includes for our students and for our staff and for parents, that we just protect everyone as much as possible. That's how we can stay in school. Also ask that, you know, really we're conscious of our engagement and participation in large group gatherings, and especially when maybe others aren't wearing masks and or you are in environments where you can't ensure social distancing. So we need everybody to be a part of that because we really do want to stay healthy, of course. We want others to stay healthy. That's our main focus. And then also we want to be able to stay in-person learning. So I wanted to take just a brief moment because it is nice too. We have only 28 folks tonight. So what I'm going to do is just take a moment because I feel like we need to spend a little bit of time just thinking about some opportunities we have right now. And those opportunities are going to be the most important message for us. It's going to be important messaging for our students. How do students see us engaging in these really difficult and complex issues? How do children, how do our colleagues, how do all of us engage in these really important times? So what I want us to do right now is I'm going to push us all into some breakout rooms. And I'm not going to spend too much time here because I know that's not necessarily what you all came here to do, but I do think there is some value. So I'm going to push us all into some breakout rooms, and there are going to be 4 people in a room. And so I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. Sorry, I'm going to give you 4 minutes in that breakout room. That allows each person to have 60 seconds or 30 seconds of talking about one way, one strategy, something you're doing, maybe just in your own daily practice, in your classroom, in your preparation at home, to really have a strong positive start for our school community. And what is something you'd like to share with this entire group? So we are going to have to be in this together for a long time, and I'm looking forward to the creative ways we do that. So I am going to go ahead and put you into those breakout rooms for 4 minutes. So each person, you have about 30 to 60 seconds. And then I would ask when you come back into the main room, if we could just have a couple of groups kind of share some really positive idea about how we're going to move forward as a community. So have fun in there. Thanks. Thanks, Jane.
Shoot, my water bottle must be somewhere down there. Like, we got to drink some water.
I know.
We own the emergency fund too.
Okay. Andrew and Mandy and Michelle and Steve, if you could join one of those rooms. Are you able to do that? Okay, Steve or Michelle or Mr. Salama. Okay, we got a couple more. Marcy, I'm putting you into a breakout room.
Larger group would be to think of ways to, you know, for the days that they're not in class, right? So
think of right.
That, yeah, which for some of you high schoolers, yeah, they could probably be home alone. For a 5-year-old, I mean, she's good, but she's not that good, you know.
Oh, I think it's harder for younger kids.
Yeah. So navigating the days off. We went to the parent university last night, and pretty much it was just 100% talked about COVID-19. And we were like, okay, so, you know, do we just drop our kid off on the bus? Or, you know what I mean? Like thinking about what the day-to-day school is going to look like, you know, the life of a elementary student, that kind of a thing. And just thinking through what will it look like on those days off as well. It was like, oh, they'll get a worksheet. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, so we really got to, I guess, think about as a community, what to do, you know, how to be supportive and think through, daycare solutions or other ways for some folks that need that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. There's a lot of pressure on
So you're gonna have a freshman this coming year?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Here, yes.
Yeah, he's a super cool kid.
He's insane. I tell you, Mary Carol, he's taller than I am now, but that's not saying a whole lot.
Wow, that's awesome. Oh, that's great. I'm trying to order. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I'm waiting on my COVID test results right now, so I'm not feeling at my best. But anyway, I'm trying to order some more supplies so I can do things more digitally online for these type of situations where I don't have to have contact with some of our families if I don't need to.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you feel better.
I hope so, too. I'm eating tomatoes. I'm sure that should be.
That helps me.
Yeah, a lot of vitamin C. That's my thing. I just go in my garden, and I'm just picking them up and eating them.
There you go.
That works. Sunshine and tomatoes. Twice. Pardon?
I said, I hope you feel better.
I hope so, too.
When are you getting your tests back?
Well, that's a good question. It should have been today, but there's a lot of delays with all the tests. So now the time is doubled. So.
Elizabeth, I think you're muted.
Well, that was a lot. I said a lot of important things just then. Sorry. So I'll try to remember. I stepped into a couple of rooms and just listened for a moment. And one of the things I did hear, and I heard that also last night, that in those parent universities, maybe wanted to have a little bit more information about what a specific day for your child would look like. And I know that Janie Anderson, our director of safety and security, she's working on some of those videos. So what does the bus look like? When they come to school, what does it look like? And that's going to be probably just one for all grade levels. So with that, I'm just going to ask if there are a couple of groups, one person from maybe a couple of groups, that would just like to share something that you feel like, gosh, if we could do this really well, it would have a positive impact on all of our students or staff. Anybody?
Elizabeth, Elodie said something just wonderful for our community that I'd love to share.
Please.
She was saying that one way that as a parent that she could support our school was normalizing mask wearing and making it to where it was an easy thing. Because I think if we can just make that something that the parents have already shown them how to do and they do that, it will make it a lot easier to make our school, our classroom safe that way.
Great. So I think, you know, a person like Elodie has a great role in terms of PAC and her role as president. So thanks, Elodie, for that suggestion. Thanks, Lisa, for sharing. And maybe one or two other groups.
Hey, everybody. My name's Ben. I'm a teacher at the high school. So I was in a group with Paula and Judy and Kathy. And we did talk about some pretty major concerns, but also Judy brought up looking at everything kind of as a challenge rather than a hardship. And we also talked about trying to stay positive through all of this, because hopefully a lot of these concerns at some point will be over. Mm-hmm. You know, and people who have chosen other options beyond Manitou or are hesitant to send their kids back to Manitou in person or hybrid will be at some point able to return. So that was just, I think, a really positive spin that our group put on it. So that's kind of what we talked about.
Great. Thanks, Ben. Good to see you. How about one more group?
One thing that Alice shared in our group is that the student council is still going to be greeting students the first 2 days because it'll be a cohort one, cohort two thing. But they're still going to greet students with posters and banners and balloons and all of that stuff like they normally do. For a strong welcome back for all the students, which I thought was really cool.
Thanks, Mary Carol. That's a good, great example of a lot of things are going to be the same and some things are going to be different. But I do know that when I was with the kindergarten parents last night, staff are planning similar learning activities and tasks, but we're going to be navigating that with some masks on, extra cleaning, separate spaces. But and I also know that they're looking at outdoor spaces in a lot of different creative ways. So thanks everybody for just taking a moment to do that. I think sometimes we jump right into questions and answers, and it's nice to know that maybe we're thinking similar things. Oh, I didn't think of that. So let's thank you for just taking a little bit of time to do that. So with that, I'm gonna switch over back into the PowerPoint. Some of the updates from the weekly update that I sent out last night include important updates around these two dates, August 26th and September 2nd. And those two dates are going to be now at-home learning and staff work days, of course, on campus for everyone. What these 2 days allow for is for there to be time to reflect, understand what worked well about those first 2 days of cohort one. Also, possibly some really good time around MTSS. So where are some gaps there? Where are some areas for us to kind of think of our systems and structures? It's also possible to revise lesson planning because staff will then take those same lessons and reteach those for our students who are going to be in person. So, you know, this is a good opportunity. And then also thinking about what the at-home learning is going to look like. Really, we talked about it briefly at Manitou Springs Elementary School. Primary grades are going to probably look different because at those at-home learning days, I know that some of the staff are thinking about sending home some packets that are aligned to the work. There might also be some Canvas work in terms of accessing Freckle, but that also is going to look different for our secondary students. So thanks everyone for that. Any questions about these 2 days or anything like that. I want to thank the Board of Education, as I'm talking, as you're kind of forming your questions, I want to thank the Board of Education for making, supporting this adjustment, and because we do think there's some value added to having just a little bit more time, also to think about our cleaning procedures along the way. We also talked in the board meeting that there will be, if there's a major change that we know and we can predict that it's going to happen, for example, we're going to have more students on campus, or we're going to make some other adjustment, we will attempt to communicate that 2 weeks before the actual date. Now, I can't promise that something comes up and, for example, we need to quarantine a group for maybe potential exposure or something like that. I can't guarantee that you're not going to have that much notice. We're going to learn about it and then we're going to adjust. So we'll continue to assess the situation there. Let me just bear with me 1 second. I need to pull up Colleen's document so I can see if there are any questions that are coming through around that particular topic.
I didn't see any yet, Dr. DeMang, but I found a few answers to some questions. The 18th is the day for high school registration. You'd think I would know that off the top of my head, as I have 2 high schoolers, but I had to look it up. There was an email that went out to parents yesterday. So if you're not seeing that in your email, contact the high school, but sometimes it helps me if I know the date that it went out as well. There's lots of tidbits in there regarding that.
Great. Supply list. I heard that question come up often. I know that principals are working on that. What I heard yesterday is the supply lists that are posted right now are the supplies that students will need, even if it's from the previous school year. So I do know that our staff would appreciate other items like hand sanitizer and cleaning wipes. So we have heard lots of parents who want to buy extra things for the classroom sets, which would be appreciated, definitely not mandatory. We have attempted to buy more for our schools, and I see David Payne on this call right now. So also just reach out to the school principal if you're having trouble, or your teacher there. All right, let me keep going through the updates. Cohort information. I just want to thank Colleen and Joey and Christina in the district office. They initially did the sorting of the cohorts, and one of the first priorities we had for that cohort sorting was to keep families in the same cohort. And the second part of that was really for our students with an IEP so that they could be in cohort 1 and then be able to attend school all 5 days of the week. So those 3 folks, they worked really hard, and then they pushed that out to the school staff, the administrative staff at the schools, and they started making sure that those cohorts were tighter around the school structure. From there, just yesterday, Christina Baker, she pushed out some emails to you all. I want to apologize. I know that some of those came out. It was really probably very confusing. And so we want to apologize for that. It was the first time we sent out that type of batch through PowerSchool. And so some of you received the same email saying that your child was in cohort 1 and cohort 2. And then Christina did some great work, and she was able to identify that she was able to basically do a merge document that included the student's name. So everyone should have received a better email today at about, these lights are smart lights and they just turned off because I'm not moving. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So that new email went out today at about 8:30 this morning. I will tell you that principals are now looking at those too, because they're getting questions and concerns. Maybe a child in one school is not in the same cohort. Please reach out to the school principal or registrar, and they will like to hear that there's any questions or things that they can fix there. We have kept the online students in those cohorts because we have already had several parents reach out to us to say, actually, I changed my mind from going to the parent university. They actually said, I actually want to go to in person. So we kept those in the cohort so that we can have a spot for students, because you're always going to be one of our Manitou Springs School District students. So I just wanted to give you that information. Next, I'm going to jump over to technology. I think I've provided this a couple of times, but we really just want staff of preschool to second grade students know that we will not have iPads until the computers arrive for the 8th to 12th grade students. So we are apologetic about that delay, but that's really one of those things that is out of our control, because we're not building those computers. So thanks for that. I see a couple of comments here in the work that Colleen is capturing there. So let me just give a couple more updates and then I'll switch over to those questions. The next thing I wanted to add is that the county has heard the need for us to have a community-based COVID-19 testing site. This is a free testing site. It's at the Citadel Mall. So I'll just take a second for you to jot down that address. It's apparently in the parking lot just south of JCPenney. And one of the things that it is free, but I did hear on the news that they're asking for folks to go to the El Paso County Health website and to register for an appointment so that you can kind of be in the queue there. And no insurance or referral is required. So just wanted to provide that with you all. That happens in the last week, really. And they're considering educators essential as part of this process. So thanks for that. Let me see. I'm going to switch over to the questions that Colleen is capturing here. It says, we aren't going remote and other districts are. What are the reasons for this? What is different between D49 and Manitou that warranted them going remote and not us? Why aren't we just doing just remote like D11? Yeah, good question. I think that's probably one of big questions we get. I think I also get it other responses from parents and staff saying, we're really happy that we are having an in-person opportunity for our students. So I would say, as I've said before, it's really not a bell-shaped curve. People and students and all of us are along this continuum of really what's best. And so right now, as a school district, we feel like we're prepared for our in-person learning. Our staff return fully on the 17th. Those 3 days, three of those 4 days will be really collaborating, and the fourth day staff having time to really prepare for that first day on the 21st. We're going to take every day as an opportunity to learn. We have a unique situation in Manitou also. Our total student enrollment is typically between 1480 to 1465 to 1480. When we take our high school, which has about 475 students, divided in half, and then even pulling out the students who are online, in a day, our in-person for this hybrid model could have about 200 students. You take some of our other area school districts that have 2,000 students in their high school or 1,000 students in their middle school. Our middle school has, 360 students. And so we're just a different number of students. It allows us to be a little bit more agile. I want to also say that some of the dates could be a little bit arbitrary in terms of is that the best date? Well, we feel like we're prepared. We have a lot of protocols in place. We're going to keep on getting better. We're going to seek feedback. At the same point, we cannot prevent if someone is going to have an exposure outside of school or something like that. We're going to take every case really with a lot of thought and intention, and we're going to lean into our health professionals and assess along the way. So I think really good question. I think that, like I said, in the day, I can get that same question. Then I can also get so many others saying, we're so glad that we're having students and staff in the buildings. And that's coming from parents, staff, and students on both sides. So I completely understand. What else? Okay, are we testing kids and staff? No, we're not testing kids or staff. Something that we've talked about from the beginning, that that is really a public health need. And as we know too, in most of the guidance has been that regular testing is not recommended. It is if you're showing signs or symptoms or possible exposure. So we are really leaning into our health professionals and that guidance there. is the tech health, the tech update for everyone, or just online? That tech update is for everyone. Those computers, 8th to 12th grade, we're going to be, once those come in, then those laptops, iPads will go down to preschool to second grade. So unfortunately, it impacts everyone in every spot. So if you are enrolling in an online and Fuel Ed, or selecting to not enroll, if you're selecting to participate in Fuel Ed, you will, and you're in grades 3 to 12th grade, you're going to have an iPad. If you're in preschool to, or kinder to second grade, you're going to need to use your own device at home. And we will get the iPads out as soon as we receive them. I'm going to keep reading some of these questions. So let's see. State guidance prohibits groups larger than 100 shared spaces and buildings. Larger than 100 in a space. So for example, in our cafeterias, in our common spaces, we would not have more than 100 students. We actually pay attention to how many we can keep in our commons area with social distancing. And I think Stuart and his team looked at our commons area at the high school can hold about, I think it was, they said, just depending on how the tables are spread out, between 40 to 60 students in that space. So in a lot of ways, we're limited anyway, just so that we can monitor the number of students there. Here's a comment here. Idea to have a lanyard or mask being attached so they don't get lost or touched by others. A good idea. And I think that's great. That's the kind of creative solutions that our PAC and our other community partners could help us with, so that we are doing these things in creative ways. They're fun and creative for students. It's not scary. And that we can also just be in this together. Choir hire, Wendy Harm sharing 612. Colleen, you want to speak to that, please?
Sure, I would be happy to. We did hire a new choir teacher to work with our middle school and high school students. And some of you may know that some of our music folks are shared between, just because of the location of the Silk Building. It makes it really easy for us to share our teachers with the middle school and high school. But with cohorts and the work that we're doing around that, we've used our 612, really our performing arts teachers, in a different way. And so Wendy Harms is an incredible performing arts teacher in theater and drama. She teaches at Pike Street Community College concurrent enrollment college class for us on campus. And so is able to offer a lot of opportunities. And so her and Danny Trammell and Abby Steen, who is our new choir teacher, and Taylor Weimer are working together on doing some really kind of out of the box thinking for our students while we're in COVID, with singing and playing a musical instrument. And so we're working on that. Mr. Hole and Dustin Katie, the new middle school principal, are working with those folks on how to do that. So you may see Wendy Harms right now on your student schedule in choir, but just know that they're working on doing some creative pieces around that. So feel free to reach out to Wendy or Danny or Taylor or the principals of those buildings with specific questions. But that's why it's Wendy Harms and not Abby Steen, the choir teacher, right now, is to limit that kind of crossing of cohorts between the buildings as much as possible.
Thank you, Colleen. I want to add too, I see several of our mentors and our mentees on this call. I see Jessica Avery, and I think I also saw some others. And I know that Ben and others are mentoring. And we did start our new staff institute yesterday. We have eight or nine new licensed staff. So we just want to welcome them to Manitou. They're a tremendous group, and we have some great hires, and I'm just really excited about them joining our Mustang team. So thanks to the mentors and Eric McMartin for everything he's doing to let them have a strong start. One of the things that I just saw pop up, it's are we taking attendance on at-home hybrid days? Great question. And yes, we are. One of the aspects of this whole situation that we are navigating right now is that the state has required, and we would do this anyway, because one of the things that we heard from the fourth quarter is that we heard parents and students and staff wanted a little bit more accountability for the work and what was going on at home, and not in a punitive way, but just to make sure that we are engaging students in meaningful ways. So we've worked through that. We'll continue to work through it as we get into our processes. But if there are teachers on the room, basically what we are working through is that there will be a back-end report. So for example, even though let's say I'll just take a second grade student, the teacher will post those assignments in Canvas and those opportunities in Canvas, or maybe they're gonna spend some time in these other systems like Freckle or iReady. What can happen on the back end is our team can run a report to see if and when the student logged into Canvas. And so our teams are gonna be figuring out ways to run that back end report, and then the attendance can be taken to see that, you know, students participated or engaged in the Canvas to some degree within those at-home learning days. The reality is that just because the work might be posted in Canvas, that doesn't mean that's where the work has to be done or completed. So we want to see that the students are accessing Canvas, and there are going to be a task and activities that the teachers are having them do, but that is going to look different for each content area, each grade level. So hopefully that helps teachers and staff. Your principals will be giving you more information about what that will look like. We wanted to make it I don't want to say simple enough, but concise enough to where it was not just one more thing for anybody, but it was something that was already built into the systems that we're already using. Let me go back to the slides, and then I'll go back to the questions. One of the things that I think, going back to the question around why are we in person, why are we doing hybrid and not starting with remote? I would say that there's one of the things that I know, if I start looking at what all the other districts are doing, and really knowing how prepared we are, and things will not be perfect, but we're going to keep on moving in that direction for excellence, is that last Monday, just 2 days ago, on a call with the superintendents, our director of El Paso County Public Health, the deputy medical director, Dr. Leon Kelly, he shared with us, and I'll read this statement from him. It says, looking at recent COVID-19 trends locally, we have begun to see a stabilization and modest decline in cases and hospitalizations. Given this information, along with the recent launch of an additional community-based testing site, public health supports schools in their efforts to safely plan for return to learn. And as I mentioned earlier too, we're just in a different space because we are a smaller school district. And I do also know that that's why many of us love to be in our small school district, because of the nature of our students are not a number. They are people who matter to each of us. And so by having this hybrid model, we can be in person with kiddos and with our staff in spaces, and allows us to really refine our practices. So just wanted to share that with you. Also, a good resource for everyone is to continue to go back to El Paso County Health Department dashboard, and then you can see the trend data and see how some of these decisions are being made. At any point, if this changes or we see something else, we will constantly assess those numbers there. I'm going to go back to the questions here. What about kids hanging out outside of school? This could wipe out all of the school's efforts. Yeah, that's why we need a real partnership with our families. And I would also, oh, sorry, the light's timed out again.
Wave your arm.
So that's why we need this from a community approach, that we are all in this together. I know for me personally, I go to work, I go home, and I try to limit any kind of groups outside of the school environment, because it's that important that we can have these environments. So I would just say, as much as possible, if we can just do this collaboratively without shaming, and really have an opportunity for teaching and learning around why this matters. Let's see. New hire for Manitou Springs Elementary School, Manitou Springs High School for assistant principal. Those two positions are posted right now. The assistant principal positions are posted. I mentioned that just briefly when we first started. They're posted on the district's website. They're also posted on CASE. That's Colorado Association of School Executives. And then they're also posted on Chalkbeat. So please get the message out that those positions are posted. We hope to have a robust search, and The principals will be organizing those search processes now. They are actually already doing that. Some questions, will all assignments be in Canvas? They'll be posted there, but in certain teachers' shells, they might have a student go to another spot to access some other information. For example, there's a million different examples, but yeah, the assignments will be posted there. What's the process for going remote? How many positive cases? It's really dependent on if that happens, when it happens, who is it? Is it a cohort? Is it a big cohort? Is it a small group that has been in a tight cohort, and where they've been? So I would say that that question is not hard and fast. I did see just before I logged in that our commissioner of education for the state, Dr. Katie Anthes, she did send out something. I honestly, it came in probably 10 minutes before I stepped in, and it is just get a little bit more guidance from the CDPHE. I'm going to keep going through the questions. Grading policies for the fall, pass, fail. It's going to be standard grading practices that we've had before the fourth quarter. So Colleen, I don't know if you want to add anything more to that there.
I know that principals will be working with teachers when they come back next week about how to be really clear around expectations and grading and giving feedback so that kiddos know where they are and that families know where they are. So I know that that's something that principals are going to be working on with staff as we move forward with those expectations so that there's a lot of clarity around that. I know that that's something that I've heard kids and parents both kind of talk about, what is this going to look like in the fall around expectations and grading? So that's something that I know principals are working on to have some clarity with teachers and so that there's continued clarity for our kids and families.
Thanks, Colleen. I see the next question too around finalizing classes on FUEL. When will this happen and who can we work with? I think that's a perfect question for you also.
So we have started the data upload this morning. The deadline for joining FUEL was yesterday. So we started that data upload today. And if you have any questions around FUEL at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm happy to talk through things. And I know that every conversation I've had with a family has helped me think of things that I wasn't necessarily thinking of or just think about them in a different way. So any questions you have, please let me know kind of where we are with that process and what questions you might have. I'm hoping that all of those things will be done by the end of this week, by Monday at the very latest, and then we can get all that out to the families that have students on FUEL.
Thanks, Colleen. I also want to tell Colleen, thank you for everything she's doing too. I hear Colleen, our offices are right next door. I hear her speaking with families often around just some questions and making the best decision for their family. So I appreciate your leadership, Colleen, just willingness to be jumping fully into a system. Yes, and Ben Gillum has been leading this platform for many years. So we have a resident expert on the teaching and learning side. And so we're fortunate in that way. And that's one of the reasons that we went with FUEL Ed is because it was already part of our high school programming for credit recovery. So Ben, I know you're here, so we'll be leaning on you for that. High school sports and practicing, is it possible in the fall? Yeah, Cameron Jones, he's working on knowing that the schedule has changed for sports and for other activities. He's working with the coaches to find out ways that students can still stay engaged. And I'm looking forward to different ways that can happen. We have two sports right now that are two sports. We have cross country and golf. That's right. Sorry. Cross country and golf. And then there's a big gap until January. We just believe that gap is too big. We're also talking about, you know, that from a regional perspective. I was on the call today with superintendents and saying, you know, is there some way we need to be consistent around time of practice in these off seasons? And, you know, I think that's going to be a moving target also for how do we continue to engage in these great opportunities for kids while also maintaining an understanding of the health concerns right now. I do know that Joey Levy, our director of arts integration and community wellness. She is going to be starting Connect 14 around October 1st. That gives us time to focus on teaching and learning cycles and then adding on these other opportunities. So thanks for that. I also want to add either probably today or tomorrow, everyone in our database is going to be receiving a CARES, Manitou CARES packet around this campaign that has been supported by the Manitou Springs Education Foundation. That's a nonprofit that really supports the school district in various ways. We had a donor, an anonymous donor, came to us probably in June and said that she and her husband would like to provide $10,000 match, and they're trying to fundraise about $40,000 as their target. What those monies would be used for is to continue the programming that staff have loved so much. We have had significant budget cuts over the years, over the year because of COVID. And so they really came from a community perspective. So I also want to add, we had another donor who donated $10,000, said that they would like to support us having outdoor learning spaces. So we were able to purchase, I think it's like 13 or 15 outside picnic benches. So we're going to put 9 of those at Manitou Springs Middle School, because they do not have outdoor seating. We're going to put that up on the upper activity field, and then we're going to put some in some other spaces. So just thankful for the generosity of those folks. And so please be on the lookout for anything related. Colleen, is there anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's just about everything that I am seeing so far.
Okay. Well, we are right at about 5:50. We usually have been going to about 6. I know the initial meeting was 5 to 5:45, and I do know we have lots of folks at our parent universities tonight. So I'm glad that those have been helpful. If you ever leave those, and if you feel like there's something we can do better, please let us know. I can open it up if there's any general questions, or if anyone from any department or school wants to make some comments about some exciting things that are going on as you're preparing for the start of the school year. We'd love to hear those great things that are going on. Before I do that, I just want to say to Paula, our nutrition director, if any parent or student is doing completely online, there will be daily breakfast and lunch pickups at Manitou Springs Elementary School and Ute Pass Elementary School. So any student enrolled in our online or participating in online programming will have those food options. Anything That's else great. Anyone wants to add about what you're doing or what's going on as you're preparing?
Hey everyone, this is Ben Gillum again. So I was with a group of teachers today at the high school, and we were sitting down to talk about blended learning. And we know that this is a tough schedule to work with, our hybrid, but we had a great group of people in the room today, had some great ideas. And so hopefully everything's just going to go well. We're going to get some learning done. And yeah, so I can share that from the high school perspective from today.
Thanks, Ben. Anybody else? Parents, anything exciting that you're doing to prepare your children for both in-person or online learning? Ways that we can learn from you also.
Elizabeth, there was a question about curriculum that Manitou Elementary School uses for language arts and for math. You wanted to
you
answer
want to
that part?
Question,
Colleen? Yeah, I'm sorry. Which curriculum does Manitou Elementary use? Singapore math, and which curriculum for language arts?
So for language arts, we use core knowledge. And then for math, we use math and focus. And we're considering those our resources to support the standards-based instruction. And so, yeah, teachers will be using those resources to support learning, in-person learning.
couple of questions about supply lists. Just for at the high school, supply lists will come. There's not a general list. Each teacher on the first day with their syllabus will go over the list that each student needs for those particular classes. And thank you to Lisa from Manitou Elementary, who said that those were being updated and worked on now, and that they'll be on the website. And I believe that that is the same for the middle school, that it's on the Manitou Springs Middle School website. So I hope that answered all of the supply list questions.
Anything else? Anything anyone wants to share that's like inspiring and exciting for us? Maybe a good quote that you're really kind of latching onto right now that's inspiring anybody.
Hi, this is Kelly Ladrigan. We bought ourselves a kayak and a paddleboard, and we're getting our kids their driver's license. So awesome. They're doing online learning, and we need them to get out with their friends. So that's just something we're doing.
Thanks for sharing that. And also want to let everyone know that the way our online program begins, I definitely know it will evolve, and that we want to make sure that those kiddos feel like they're a part of our community, that they're never not, and that we will continue to evolve and making sure that they feel a part of our Manitou Springs School District community. Because they are. Anybody else?
I don't know how exciting this is, but I'm inspired. Let's see if we can see. Those two down there, they've started with charcoal. And then we also have chickens, which I don't know if you can see them here.
Yes, that's awesome.
So we're doing some agricultural arts with 5 chickens, and they just started laying eggs this week.
That's great, Elodie.
Well, yeah.
Egg science. Anybody else? Well, with that, we can kind of wrap up. I'll just say that a quote that I've always lived by, two, I'll give you two. Some people ask why, I ask why not. And then I'm not the coiner of that phrase. And then another one is the bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity. And yeah, this is a big problem, but we have an amazing opportunity. So just thankful for everyone who's a part of this, a tremendous level of gratitude to our Board of Education, our staff, our families, and our kids. So with that, I'll just wrap up, and I will see you next week. And please join us on one of our parent universities if you haven't been able to join those. So we'll see you soon, and we'll look forward to seeing students on the 21st. Bye, everyone.